Good morning, everybody. It's 9:02. This meeting is called to order. First of all, we're going to have a roll call of members present.
Ms. Powell?
Present.
Dr. Knopf?
Here.
Dr. Green?
Here. First of all, I'd like to recognize all of our newly licensed chiropractors that are required to be at this meeting today. You're going to see some examples of how people get called before the board. This is meant to be a learning experience for you so that you don't get called in front of the board ever. So I hope that you learn from what you see in here today. This meeting is being recorded, and we have a new requirement, a new law went into effect that the meeting minutes are going to be available for up to 3 years now. And so from time to time, you're going to hear us reintroduce ourselves as if there's no audience in front of us, because when you reflect back on the meeting minutes a year and a half from now, perhaps all the board members won't be here, and you'll know who said what, and you'll be able to decipher what happened. Our first item of business and our first tab is in recognition of a catastrophic loss that we had. A couple of months ago, we lost our esteemed chairman, Dr. James Badge. He served on and off the board for over 25 years through multiple governor appointments. I think four different governors had appointed him at different times. And so he is survived by his widow, who is with us today. Ms. Debbie Badge, thank you for coming. And we, as a board, wanted to honor him in a couple of ways, and staff came up with some creative ideas, so credit goes to them. We're going to start with a proclamation, and I'm going to have our executive director, Mr. Bohal, read that into the record.
Whereas James J. Badge, Doctor of Chiropractic, successfully passed the Arizona State Chiropractic Licensing Examination administered by the Arizona Board of Chiropractic Examiners on the 8th day of July, 1973. And whereas he was issued license number 757 to practice in the chiropractic profession in the state of Arizona on the 4th day of August, 1973. And he was appointed to the Arizona Board of Chiropractic Examiners by Arizona Governor Bruce Babbitt on the 11th day of August, 1983. And he was elected chairman of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners on the 13th day of December, 1983. Whereas he was reappointed to the board by Governor Rose Mofford on the 21st day of July, 1988, and whereas he served the board until his replacement on the 12th day of August, 1993, and he was reappointed to the board by Governor Jane D. Hull on the 16th day of July, 1998, and whereas he served the board until his replacement on the 17th day of July, 2003, whereas he was appointed to the board by Governor Janice K. Brewer on the 13th day of August, 2009, and whereas he was elected chairman of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners on the 17th day of May, 2012, and whereas he was reappointed to the board by the Arizona Governor Janice K. Brewer on the 1st day of July, 2014, and whereas he served the board until his passing on the 7th day of November, 2018. Whereas he worked tirelessly to promote the chiropractic profession and dedicated many years of his exemplary career to this endeavor, and whereas he was an integral part of the creation of the Part 4 National Examination and Standards, and whereas he was an active member and participant of the Federation of Chiropractic Licensing Boards, the National Board of Chiropractic Examiners, where he served in many positions, including president, the International Board of Chiropractic Examiners, where he served as the first president, and the Arizona Association of Chiropractic, where he served as the first co-president. And whereas the Board of Chiropractic Examiners is proud to recognize an individual that dedicated his life to the service of the state of Arizona and the chiropractic profession, now for the members of the State of Arizona Board of Chiropractic Examiners, do hereby memorialize James John Badge, Doctor of Chiropractic, for his service to the board, the state, and the chiropractic profession.
Thank you very much for that. You know, we're going to all sign the proclamation, and Mrs. Badge, you'll get a copy for yourself, and then we're going to keep one on file over here, which will include one of our newest board members who was just recently appointed, Dr. Martin Kolasch. So he's going to sign on as well. So, you know, Dr. Badge was an inspiration to many of us. He was one of those people that made you want to be a better chiropractor, made you want to be a better person. His volunteer efforts have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for the causes that he believed in. His volunteerism in his church through Phoenix Sister Cities, multiple boards that he participated on. He was somebody that was very difficult to say no to, which is why I'm on this board right now. When he asks you to step up and do something, your first thought might be, why would I ever want to participate on a disciplinary board? Because it's not a popular position to be on. You don't win any popularity contests that way. But he said, this is important, and we need some help, and so here I am. So he was what I like to call an unintentional mentor to me. He was somebody who I didn't think I needed a mentor, and he became my mentor. He just made me want to be a better person. So I'm thankful to have met him, and the world is a better place, and the ripple effect of his splash will be felt in so many different directions. I can tell you through the people that he introduced me to, through other state board agencies, through the Federation of Chiropractic Licensing Boards, and through the National Board of Examiners. He was highly, highly revered by everyone. So I'm happy to sign this proclamation. Staff also came up with the idea for a shadow box with some items in it that include a flag that was flown over the Capitol here in our state on the first day of session. We've got Dr. Badge's gavel from over 25 years, and a few other items. Justin, if you can explain.
So we have the gavel, as Dr. Brink said, the flag that was flown over the state capitol, the picture that he submitted with his application, and of course his name. We also have a letter from the governor's office thanking him for his service. So we do appreciate everything that Dr. Badge did for staff and the board and the profession.
And I asked Justin if I could address the board for just a moment.
Absolutely.
And he said I could, so I promise you I won't take too much time, if that's okay. Thank you, guys. Opportunity today to briefly address the board on this very special day. On behalf of Jim, myself, and the entire Badge family, it is my honor and my privilege to accept this proclamation. It goes without saying that Jim put his entire heart and soul into the chiropractic profession. There were sacrifices along the way, time away from family, a grueling travel schedule, and missed special occasions. I remember Jim telling me that he woke up in a hotel room on more than one occasion and couldn't remember what city he was in. That's a lot of travel. However, as you might have guessed, he made these sacrifices willingly and without reservation and with the full support of his family. It was his passion. And now as you begin a new year with some familiar faces and some new faces, the torch is being passed to you to continue Jim's legacy of uncompromising dedication to the chiropractic profession and maintaining the highest level of integrity and ethical standards. Once again, my sincere thanks for honoring Jim today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next order of business today is tab number 2. We're going to have board officer elections. So at this time, I will accept any nominations for chairman.
I would like to nominate Richard Guido as chair.
Thank you. Are there any other nominations? Okay, hearing no other nominations, I will accept the chairmanship as by acclamation. And our next order of business.
I apologize. We do need to make it a formal motion, and I'm so happy that you're going to accept, but if we can have a motion in a second and then a vote, just so that we can officially as business.
Is there a motion?
Yeah. I'll make the motion to nominate Dr. Guarino as chair of the board.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, Dr. Knopf, second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, I will be the next chairman. And now we need a nomination for vice chairman.
And I would like to nominate Dr. Knuff as vice chairman.
Okay, I'll second that motion. Any further nominations? No other nominations, so we have a first and a second point of order.
Will he accept?
Yes, I will also.
Okay, I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Hearing none opposed, Dr. Knopf is now our vice chairman. This will conclude our elections for this year. Let's move on to tab number 3 in our agenda. We have a matter of Edward Traum, D.C., on the weather to open. Mr. Bohol.
On December 10, 2018, the board received a newspaper clipping detailing the advertising of Drs. Edward and Pamela Traum. The advertisement used the phrase "guaranteed results" and does not identify the Drs. Traum as chiropractic physicians or uses the initials DC after their names. Above are potential violations of AAC R47, 901, and 902. The board staff has recommended that these two items be a complaint is open and issued a non-disciplinary advisory letter for false or misleading advertising and failing to properly identify oneself as a chiropractic physician. One of the other options the board has is if they do accept this recommendation is that they can direct staff to follow up with the doctors to ensure that the advertising is corrected and does not happen again.
So we're combining tabs number 3 and 4. It's a husband and wife chiropractic ad where they failed to... They did mention that they offer chiropractic care, but they what they didn't do is establish themselves as chiropractors. They're not here today, are they?
I do not believe that's how I need to speak.
Okay, so they didn't identify themselves as chiropractic physicians or put the initials DC after their names. One of the problems with the ad is we're not supposed to promise any results or promise a cure, and it says guaranteed results. And also... they didn't mention that in the title of their office name. They didn't mention anything about chiropractic services. It looks like the name of their company is 3D Integrated Medical. So, board members, do you have any further comments on this case?
It almost seemed as if they were trying to avoid including chiropractic or mentioning they were chiropractic. I think that's wrong. They needed to address themselves as chiropractic, include that somewhere where it says 3D Integrated Medical and chiropractic. If that's their corporate name, that's fine, but it's misleading to me.
Dr. Knopf?
I've got no thoughts beyond what's already been stated on this.
Okay. And so, in the past when we've handled matters like this, we would bring the doctors in front of us. We would send them away with some type of constructive criticism about how to fix the ad, and then they would have to come in front of us again and show proof that they actually changed the ad and complied with the state laws. I would like to designate staff to go ahead and follow up with them to avoid them potentially coming back in front of us again. So I'm going to go ahead and make that motion that we open up a complaint and issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter as a clear violation for improper advertising, and then direct staff to follow up and verify that the ad has been corrected.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I'm just going to mention that it appears to be newspaper ads, so it could take time to change based on how much they bought in advance.
And it may be that they can never change the ad because it may have been a one-time run. So, but that's going to be up to them to try to fix that or not. Okay, I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion carries. Let's move on to tab number five now.
Tab 5 is case number 2018-043, Richard Matera. No one has signed in to speak. A complaint was filed against Dr. Matera's license for arrest and conviction of a felony trespassing and criminal damage, and for failing to report the arrest or conviction within 10 days as required. Notice that the complaint was sent to the address of record and no response was received. As of January 1st, 2019, Dr. Matera did not timely renew his license and is therefore placed on administrative suspension as of January 1st, 2019, in accordance with ARS 32-923C. The board may consider accepting the proposed consent agreement to forward the complaint to formal interview, in which the board could vote to refuse to renew the license, or it may pull the item from the consent agenda and vote to dismiss the complaint or forward the complaint to formal interview.
Board members, any questions? And he's not here today. Okay.
I think always the concern for me when there's administrative suspension is, are they still practicing potentially on this? And is there a way that they maybe not know that they're on administrative suspension? So I think being a little more proactive is important in these kind of cases. So I would think that forwarding to a formal interview so that we can make a call on this license more quickly would be appropriate.
Okay.
I second the motion.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to forward the complaint formal interview.
And accept the consent agenda?
And accept, yes, the consent agenda.
Okay, you accept it as a friendly amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and just, you know, for the sake of further discussion, you know, this was a kind of a domestic case with a kick into a door involving his wife at the time, you know. So failing to report an arrest and then failing to renew the license sounds like he's on a kind of a bad path. So I agree, and so I'm going to go ahead and call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Those opposed? Okay. Hearing none, this matter is forwarded to formal interview. Okay. So agenda items 6 and 7 have been stricken from our consent agenda. And we're going to move on to tab number 8 now, the matter of Andrew White, DC.
Andrew White, D.C., has requested to be present by phone. I will attempt to contact him and give him.
Is our phone now?
Thank you.
Welcome to WebEx. Enter your access. Enter your attendee ID.
Dr. White, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Dr. White, you were present in a public meeting before the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. The board will now listen to the memo from the deputy director regarding your application.
Andrew White, DC, has applied for licensure by examination and physical medicine modalities and therapeutic procedure certification. Dr. White has also been licensed in the states of Idaho and Utah. On his application, Dr. White disclosed that the Division of Occupational and Professional Licensing in the state of Utah placed his license on probation for 1 year for treating and allowing treatment of patients outside the scope of practice. Dr. White stated that he purchased a piece of equipment advertised as an intense pulse light. However, the equipment was a laser. Board staff has received documentation confirming that the license was placed on probation August 9th, 2005, and probation was terminated August 7th, 2006. Dr. White has no other disciplinary action.
Hi, Dr. White. This is Dr. Richard Guarino, chairman for the board. Thanks for joining by phone. Can you hear me okay?
Thank you.
Okay. So this was over 20 years ago that you were on probationary status in Utah. Have you been in practice since then?
Yes, I have full time since then.
Okay, and so you had inadvertently purchased a laser, and what were you doing? Hair removal and other procedures with it?
Yeah, it was that. It was treating things like rosacea, skin conditions, that type of thing.
Okay, and you're aware that that's not part of our scope of practice in Arizona?
I am.
Okay, board members, do you have any questions for Dr. White?
No, I have no questions.
I've got no follow-up questions either.
Okay, someone care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to grant certification upon payment of appropriate fees and fees.
For licensure?
For licensure.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Dr. Greeno has been asked to do a roll call vote.
Okay. Let's call for the question.
Ms. Powell?
Yes.
Dr. Pinnell?
Aye.
Dr. Greeno?
Aye. Okay, so you have three ayes. You will be licensed in Arizona. Thank you for joining us by phone.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, our next tab we're going to go to is tab number 9.
Tab 9 is case number, it's for licensure for Dr. Marcus Villarreal. The doctor is signing to speak. If you please come forward.
And Dr. White's no longer on the phone with us?
That's correct.
Thank you. Hi, have a seat. Can you please introduce yourself for the record?
My name is Dr. Marcus Villarreal, chiropractor.
Hi, thanks for joining.
Hello.
Okay, so we have a failure to disclose an arrest, which was a long time ago for you.
That is correct.
We like to give people the benefit of the doubt, especially when things happened from 20 years ago, but it's unsettling that we ask a very specific question, have you ever been arrested, and you answer that one with a lie, so that you need to explain that to us.
Absolutely. The incident happened, as you said, more than 20 years ago. Upon the arrest, small town type thing, we made restitution directly to the party that was, I guess, damaged, and from there she dropped charges, and we went on with our days, and that happened, I think, the day afterwards we contacted her and made personal arrangements to make restitution.
Okay, and so you're a new graduate from Logan from last year?
I am, correct.
Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Now, there's a matter of, at the time of the arrest, there was an active warrant that was in a city of Capless. What do we know about that? Is that that's been handled, or is that...
That was for a traffic citation.
Okay.
And then it was just the bench warrant at the time that was on there, so that was also taken care of as well.
And so the the details of what I read in our board meeting materials was that there was somebody had a key that was made to a saloon, and you guys went in, and it sounded like you guys were goofing off more than anything. Were you guys there to steal anything, or were you just there having beer and chicken wings?
Yeah, nothing like that.
Okay.
The gentleman that had the keys told me it was acceptable due to such an act. He told me he was part owner, and we followed his suit, and that's what happened.
Okay. Well, you know, I believe that people deserve second chances. This was a long, long time ago. You know, you went through school and you haven't had any arrests since then. So, board members, do you have any questions for the doctor?
I have no questions.
I don't either.
Okay. And so, when you fill out your application or when you do a renewal, that question needs to be answered truthfully. You know, we have record of that. That's never going to go away. And we need transparency. Board members, would you like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to grant licensure upon payment of appropriate dues.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Do we need to do a roll call vote again?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let's call for the question.
Ms. Powell.
Aye.
Dr. No.
Aye.
Dr. Greeno.
Aye. Okay, you got three ayes, so the motion carries. Upon payment of the appropriate fees, you will get a license in Arizona.
Excellent. So, thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming today. Okay, our next case will be case number 10, tab number 10.
Tab number 10 is case number 2017-051, Peter J. Garibaldi, D.C. The doctor is not signed in to speak.
Okay, go ahead.
On October 27, 2017, the board issued an order to Dr. Garibaldi requiring the following. It says, license be placed on probation for 1 year, that it provide proof of completed and approved continuing education, and pay reimbursement to the board for the cost of the investigation. On November 27, 2018, board staff sent notice to Dr. Garibaldi that he had completed all the terms of his probation. On December 26, 2018, Dr. Garibaldi submitted his written request to have his probation lifted and his license be returned to active status. The board may consider lifting the probation and returning the license to active status, or the board may deny the request and continue the probation to be reevaluated at a future board meeting.
Board members, any comments, questions?
I have no questions.
I know in the past we've looked at time on probation for these things, and I appreciate the studiousness of getting through the requirements really very quickly. We're not even halfway through the probation term at this point.
That's not correct. He completed it, and he was just taking his time and requesting, correct? Like he completed it, and it's,
yeah.
It's past time now.
His probation terminated, the year lapsed at October 27, 2018.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. So he's not looking for an early termination.
Yeah, understood.
But I think I know where you were going with that, and we don't have the details of why he was on probation. And so in a case where if somebody's ever looking for an early termination, we will like to have all the details of that to make that determination. Is that where you were?
Yeah.
I don't like to think for anybody else. It always gets me in trouble.
No, that's...
Okay.
You nailed it.
Okay, so he's completed all the terms of his probation, and part of the requirement then is that we have to go ahead and make a motion to lift the probation, and so then that officially returns his license to an active status. Will someone like to make that motion?
Yeah, I'll make the motion to lift the probationary status.
Is there a second?
Second the motion.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries, and the probationary status will be lifted, and the license is returned to active status. Okay, tab number 11 is our next tab, and we're going to review our meeting minutes from the December 6, 2018 meeting. So we'll go through page by page. There aren't many this time. Uh, Are there any corrections on page one? And this is December 5th, 2018. How about page number two of four? Page three of four. Finally, page four of four. Okay, is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve meeting minutes.
There's a second.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the meeting minutes are approved without correction. We'll move on to tab number 12 now for our executive director's report.
Unfortunately, because of the holiday schedule, I do not have a budget report for you from our accounting, but I will say that we are on track for our revenue. We have completed the vast majority of our renewals process, so we did receive all those funds. I will give you a specific number at the next board meeting regarding that. As far as expenditures, we do have some savings in different areas that we're, of course, always trying to make. We do have a vacant staff position that we are leaving open and possibly restructuring the office in lieu of filling that position, or we possibly may be finding it a different type of position. So as that progresses, I will update the board on that aspect of it. The next item would be the annual renewal update. As I said, we've completed the vast majority of it. We had 250 that we placed on administrative suspension for non-renewal. So we should see those, of course, trickle down as people realize that they didn't renew their license. The large majority did appreciate the online renewal, removing the fact that they had to log in and remember a password in order to renew their license was a little bit easier for them. And the simple one-page form and not having to progress through pages and pages and pages. So, you know, there are individuals that find it and found it difficult, but we tried to make it as easy as possible with the way it was. But there is one glowing individual I'm going to bring up. He fought us a lot on renewing the license online, and he said it was going to be, he's not a technological wizard, it was going to be very, very difficult, and we kind of encouraged him through that, and once he completed it online, he called us back, and he had just glowing reviews and said that it was the easiest thing he's probably ever done. So it can be done, you know, over 2,000 chiropractors did it without a problem. So it's a learning curve, and we try to be as kind as we can through it. But the law is the law, and we have to adhere to it that way, unfortunately.
They have the option to renew by paper, correct?
Mm-hmm. If they had requested it.
Okay.
But the
so the complaint could be that for very few people, they don't have a computer, they don't have the internet, they can't renew online. They should have gotten a renewal card in the mail prompting them that it's time, but either way, it's their responsibility to renew every year. And if they're waiting to get something in the mail and they don't get a form to fill out, then they need to call the board and say, hey, where's my form, and get it done.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And we send email reminders. We do send a postcard every year. We're only by law required to do it by December 1st,
okay.
And we submit it, and we get everything ready by October 1st, or the first week in October. So we try to give them 90 days to do it rather than 30.
Now, does the postcard say that they can request a mail-in renewal?
It does not, but it tells them to contact the board office on how to proceed for the renewal.
Thank you.
Yeah. But it is a better system. We've had good response through it that it's...
It's only gotten easier in the last couple of years, so thank you to you and staff for that.
And we did take the comment on the number of spaces for the continuing education. We built a separate form to keep the renewal form condensed, but if individuals had a large amount of continuing education, they could submit a supplemental form. Okay. I believe Dr.
I just want to comment on that. How quickly you made that change and integrated it in made it so easy. And that was just such fast turnaround on that. So really, really amazing.
Thank you. We do try to be responsive to criticism. We don't try to shy away from it. So, and we are looking for continuous improvement. The last item that I have is the legislative update. Of course, the legislature is now in session. They entered and started last Monday with the governor's inaugural address. Several bills have been posted. They'll keep track of those and provide updates. The only one that I think directly affects the board at this time was Senate Bill 1086. It is sponsored by Kate Brophy McGee, and there's two parts of it. The first part is specifying that health professional licensing boards, which we're one of them, have the ability to delegate the licensing authority to the executive directors. Not every board has it specifically laid out. I know that we had some questions about how it worked for our board. This specifically lays out that the issuing of licenses could be delegated to the executive directors. So that's the first portion. The second portion is a temporary licensure. It very clearly lines out that a health professional coming to Arizona to teach a course or provide sports medicine or trying to work while their application's being processed with their background check, they could apply and get a 30-day temporary license. And that license can't be renewed, but they could be issued a second one for another 30-day period. So if they wanted to travel, come here, and it's part of the travel schedule, but they're not going to come back for 6 months, they could do it again in 6 months. So it's a broad framework in which we could draft rules and apply it to specifically how it would affect our board. Overall, I think it is a pretty good piece of legislation. If the board would like to voice support for it, I could, of course, attend any of the committee hearings and offer support, or we could remain neutral, but at least say administratively we don't see a problem with this bill. It could be implemented, and it could be fairly good potential for our licensees.
Question, Justin. Can the 30 days be back-to-back, 60
yes.
days in a row?
Correct.
So it go 90 days? And so on and so forth?
Only
two 30-day units.
Two 30-day periods.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any time after that, you would need to go ahead and get the full license.
Okay.
But according to our turnaround time for applying for a license, an individual could get from start to finish in less than 30 days. So it would actually, they wouldn't need a 90-day if they're trying to get a license to work.
You guys are actually processing pretty quick, like within 2 weeks.
That's correct.
That's what I'm seeing, right?
Yeah,
or less?
We are moving them much, much faster with every application we get.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Baskin.
Yes. May I just make another comment? Thank you, Mr. Bohal. That was a really good analysis of what the bill states. Just to give the board some background as far as executive directors issuing licenses, that is a non-ministerial duty that the board cannot delegate, so it must be in statute. So, again, as Mr. Bohal pointed out, not all health boards and not all boards delegate that in their statutes to their executive directors. So this bill would do that. It addresses, I mean, not that I'm making any public comment on it, I'm just giving you information, and I believe it addresses parameters and puts limits on that. But again, I know that this board has it and some other boards do, but that is not universal.
Okay, and so the bill will list individual provider types that are eligible for this?
Okay. It clearly lines out health professional licensing boards, which is defined with particular chapters early in the bill. We are listed under them as well as other boards, massage therapy, athletic trainers, medical board, nursing, that area. So if the board members have any comments on that particular piece of legislation?
I do have a comment on, I'm trying to imagine, all right, so if we issue temporary licensure for a chiropractor who's maybe they're licensed in New Mexico and they come out here to teach a seminar and we issue we issued them a temporary license, so now they have malpractice insurance, but they're bound by our state laws and scope of practice. So I'm just wondering what kind of fee might be appropriate for that at some point, and also then how would we go about, you know, if there is a complaint, then, you know, they would have to come back here and they would be in front of our board, and I don't know what kind of disciplinary measures and how much teeth that has if it's a temporary licensure. I mean, they can just choose to never come back here again, but it would still reflect poorly in whatever state that their home license is in, and it would be reported in the National Provider Data Bank, and then they would have to deal with it on their end too.
That's correct. So. And all of that we could delegate through rules and layout of what kind of actions could be taken care of. But it is still a license. It's still issued to them. We would still have jurisdiction. It actually brings more oversight to the individuals that come into the state because, you know, they're applying, we do have approval over them, and if something happens, you can revoke that license, and then if that is a disciplinary action that can be reflected in their home state as well.
And I wonder how that will interplay with the travel to treat legislation for team doctors that travel with the team, mm-hmm. or if they'll be exempt somehow and under a different law.
Mm-hmm. That federal law, the chiropractic or sports medicine bill, I think this would work in tandem with that and make it very clear that, yes, in Arizona they have a license to practice.
Okay. Thank you.
The last item, it's not particular our bill, but I just wanted to highlight it. The AAC has, I believe it's the AAC, has got another bill for including chiropractic profession and services and access. So I'll be tracking that for the board and providing updates.
Thank you.
And then that concludes it for my executive director's report. Moving on to tab 13.
Just real quick, Justin, one question on the access bill. Do you know what the language is in that?
I don't, but I can provide a copy to you.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Okay, so tab 13 for the request for a board approved monitor.
Yes, so Dr. Grant Shapiro has submitted a request to become a board approved monitor. Last year, the board, I believe it was December 2017, that he submitted an application to be a monitor as well. Withdrew it at the last minute, but the board did have some concerns and questions about that. He has since resubmitted that request. He's provided a letter with his explanation. Also in your board materials are the two cases that involved his license, case number 2004-028 and case number 2009-057. The board would like to review those. He is not available in person, but he is available by phone if the board would like to contact him for any questions.
So, Ms. Baskin, my understanding of this case is that a doctor had some previous cases before us, and I wonder what our liability is if we grant this person being a board-approved monitor, or, you know, it seems that he is stating that his previous cases in front of the board make, you know, have been a learning experience that have helped him be a better monitor.
And his, Mr. Ball Hall, his license is currently active and standing. Well, I'm certainly, that is one factor that the board can consider if somebody has a disciplinary history and then they're serving in that role.
Ms. Powell, you met him, and I believe he took some of your classes, or?
I have, and he did.
And what was your impression?
I got a very good impression of him. He was very eager to learn. He was very open to suggestions. He revealed to me that he'd run into some difficulties and, you know, unintentionally, you know, things that we see have happened, but was very remorseful about it and just wanted to learn as much as he could about compliance and, you know, spreading the word, you know, just keeping the thought of compliance alive in practices. And we were actually discussing how there aren't a lot of good monitoring companies, in my humble opinion, that we can refer to. And he thought, at the time he had suggested to me, that maybe he could get that level of education and maybe do that in the future. So it didn't surprise me to see this. But I thought he was of good character. I didn't have any negative impression about him.
Okay. So, you know, one of our options could be to approve this kind of on a probationary status pending his first review, and then decide at that point if we want to continue or not.
That would be an option, Dr. Green.
Okay.
And Mr. Bohol, pardon me if I overlooked it, but what has he presented as far as over and above his CE requirements? Has he presented any other evidence?
He provided his resume.
I didn't see his resume among the paper documents that we received.
I apologize. In 2018, he obtained a medical compliance specialist recertification. In 2017, he was a national certification medical compliance specialist physician level, an MCS-P. 2008, he was recertified in manipulation under anesthesia. 2008, pain management certification from the American Academy of Manual and Physical Medicine. 2001 was his original certification under manipulation under anesthesia. 1997 is when he obtained his Doctor of Chiropractic. He took his national boards in 1997 with his Bachelor of Science obtained in 1994.
I can also comment that I have personally reviewed his records, his personal patient records, and was impressed. I'm not easily impressed by doctor's records. He did a really good job.
Okay, great.
If that, you know, something that we can take into consideration.
Okay, will someone like to make a motion?
I will make the motion that we grant him his request with the 1 year probation where we monitor him, however we can do that. Suggestions?
I think, you know, he may or may not have a case in the first year, so if I can make a humble amendment to that we, you know, we review any reports coming from him, or at least his first report, and then revisit it and decide if we want to keep him on a probationary status at that period or lift it. Is that a friendly amendment?
Yes.
Okay. I'll second. Any further comments? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the question. Those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, motion carries, and Dr. Grant Shapiro will be on a probationary period for being a board-approved monitor for us. Tab number 14 is a review request for a board-approved evaluator.
That is correct. Dr. Kathleen Kramer has submitted a request to become a board-approved evaluator. She is a licensed psychologist. She has submitted a cover letter as well as her resume for the board's review. I have confirmed her license is active and in good standing with the psychology board.
Okay. Any comments or questions, board members?
I thought her resume, her CV, was very comprehensive. She seems extremely qualified. I didn't have any questions or problems or issues at all with this individual.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought she was really very impressive based off of her resume.
Okay, do you want to move to approve?
Yeah, I'll make the motion to approve the evaluator application from Dr. Kramer.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, approval is granted to be an evaluator. Our 15th tab is about possibility for reciprocity with California.
So the California Board of Chiropractic Examiners has started reaching out to different states asking to engage in a reciprocal agreement. And according to our statutes, how it's kind of composed is that we have licensure by examination, and applicants must adhere to that, but then there's carve-outs of that for licensure by reciprocity or endorsement. So the licensure by examination requirements needs to be substantially equivalent between the two states in order to grant reciprocity. And that reciprocity is not a, you already have a license, you can walk through and get a license here. It's a waiver of the educational standards, essentially, saying, yes, at the time you were licensed in that state, you met the educational standards, so you would meet them here. So that's kind of what we're looking at, and I kind of comprised the summary of the requirements for licensure in Arizona and in California. As you can see, they're essentially the same. The only difference is that in Arizona, we also require that they've not previously failed the licensing exam in Arizona. California doesn't have that requirement. So if the board would like to review both their statute and ours in the summary, and then you can make the determination if they're substantially equivalent. And if they are, then the board would have the option to establish a reciprocal agreement between the two states. And then Arizona licensees would be able to go to California and apply for a license. And if, their education standards would have been met for the California board to issue and approve the license. And the same would be true for California licensees to come here.
So what kind of action would we have to take for that? Would we just direct staff to do that? Or
Staff has already prepared that summary. If there's a memo in your file, in the materials, I've also got a copy here.
Yeah, I see the summary, and it looks almost identical.
And so you would, as board members, could make the determination that they're substantially equivalent. And then
to make them eligible for reciprocity.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you would vote to grant that reciprocal agreement.
Okay.
I've spoken with the executive director of the California board. We've kind of ironed out the details, and I don't foresee any issues in approving that reciprocal agreement.
Ms. Baskin.
Mr. Bohol, Dr. Farina, members of the board. Now, have you done? You do not go through any type of rulemaking procedure with this. You just have recognized the states. I believe there's eight currently.
That's correct.
Am I right? Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you currently have eight, and then what is the difference between the application process with reciprocity rather than endorsement? Mm-hmm. Because your endorsement process seems to be very really fast too, but maybe that'll help.
Well, that's a one way. That's a one way into Arizona, but that's not Arizona. Doctor is going to California.
That is correct. And the process is essentially exactly the same for all three application types. It's just the waiver of education. For examination, it's parts 1 through 4. For reciprocity, it's parts 1 and 2 and 3, or spec instead of 3. Endorsement is for individuals to come to Arizona if they've had just parts 1 and 2. We're waiving that educational requirement for 3 and 4. But reciprocity and exam and endorsement, they're all processed the same way. We gather the same information, license verifications, transcripts, national board scores, and background checks, but we process them essentially the same. Yeah, but we have not had to do this through rulemaking. We just established that agreement. And then if anything changes, we would bring that back before the board, because essentially that agreement is broken, and we would either need to recertify it or rescind that agreement.
Question.
Yes.
What's the downside?
They come here and they buy all of our land.
Right? Our property prices go up. But.
There's not really a downside. We're not put in a position that we have to do anything different. It only helps the licensees so that they can, I know California rules are rather strict, and they have a difficult time changing them because it requires a statewide referendum to change their statute. So they're trying to find a way to get reciprocity for their California licensees because they have the largest licensing base in the entire country, and their profession would like to move elsewhere once in a while, and it's very difficult for them.
Okay.
So we need a motion to enter into a reciprocity agreement with California.
I'll make the motion to enter into the reciprocity agreement with California.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I think it's just to mention, I think we're going to get many of those licensees coming to Arizona just as cost of living comes up from California. So I think it will be a benefit to our profession in the state to have this be a part of it.
Okay. Further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion carries. So it's 10 o'clock now, almost, and it's time for our first of two formal hearings.
Could we take a recess so that we could ensure that the meeting is set up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'll make a motion to move to recess.
Is there a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. We will take a short recess. Okay, the time is 10:07. We're back in regular session. We are about to start our formal hearing for tab number 16, case number 2018-13 and 2018-16, the matter of Dr. Troy Shively, D.C. This is the time and place for formal hearing of the matter of Troy Shively, case number 2018-013 and 2018-016. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it by ARS 32924F and G. Dr. Shively, please come forward and introduce yourself. Dr. Shively is not here. Is there any legal counsel for Dr. Shively? There is none. Will the representation for the state introduce themselves for the records, please?
Yes, good morning. Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona, and with me is Justin Vogel, Executive Director of the Chiropractic Board of Examiners.
Hi, thank you. This is an administrative hearing. It will be conducted in an informal manner and without adherence to the formal rules of evidence required in judicial proceedings. Hearsay is admissible. Irrelevant, immaterial, or unduly repetitive evidence will be excluded. Dr. Shively, this would have been his chance to ask questions right now. He's not here. The purpose of this formal hearing is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. We have read all the materials that were submitted, and if there were any additional materials, this would have been the time for him to submit those to us. This meeting is recorded. Everybody will need to speak clearly and loudly and at one at a time, please. I'm going to go ahead and ask the board members and staff to introduce themselves for the record at this time.
Jackie Kennel, investigator.
Lindsay Castro, deputy director.
Angela Powell, public member.
I'm Dr. Richard Guarino, chairman.
Dr. Stephen Knopf, vice chair.
Mark Harris, the board's independent legal advisor.
Thank you. Let's have witnesses sworn in.
Put your right hand. Do you swear under penalty of perjury to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And may the record reflect that Justin Vogel was sworn in.
Thank you. Are there any motions to be considered at this time?
Yes, Dr. Carino, members of the board, Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, on behalf of the state of Arizona. The state has filed a motion to deem allegations admitted, and that is pursuant to ARS 32924H. In this case, the state issued the complaint and notice of hearing to Dr. Scheibman's address of record with the board. Additionally, the complaint was issued by regular mail. It was also, there was also a direct telephone contact with by the executive director, Mr. Vohall, and I would ask him to please discuss what attempts he made informally to contact Dr. Scheibman, if you could at this time.
Board members, Jackie Kendall, the board's investigator, did contact Dr. Scheibman by phone initially in the complaint process to remind him that a complaint, that a response to the complaint would need to be received. He did not submit a response. At the initial appearance, the board reviewed this. He was sent a subpoena to appear before the board. He did not appear at that time. The board directed board staff to contact him to offer a consent agreement for the voluntary surrender of his license in lieu of going to the formal hearing. So staff did attempt to contact him. They did contact him. They let him know about the voluntary surrender. He informed us that that was unlikely to occur and that he would appear before the board to provide a response to the complaint. As you can see, the board staff has not received a response to the complaint, and he's not present at this time.
And Mr. Ball, have you had any type of communication with the doctor recently?
When we attempted to contact him after the complaint and notice of hearing were filed, to let him know that the hearing was going to occur, as well as the let him know about the offer of voluntary surrender.
Okay. All right, but nothing since then?
Nothing since then.
All right, thank you. Dr. Carino, members of the board, therefore, the state has provided this licensee with actual notice of the proceedings. He was noticed that this is his opportunity to defend against the charges. This is his opportunity to present evidence. Under your statute, his failure to appear, the board can deem the allegations admitted and determine that he has absented voluntarily from the process, which it appears he has under the circumstances. Now, on behalf of the state would ask that you adopt the findings of facts and the conclusions of law in two separate motions that are contained in the complaint notice of hearing. Turning to the penalty in this case, the board has discretion on whether or not to impose a penalty. If it finds that there are factual allegations that support violations, the state's position is that a penalty is required in this case. Turning to the factual allegations, the factual allegations address actually 13 different allegations of professional conduct. The conclusions of law deal with multiple violations of the Chiropractic Act. They deal with unprofessional, dishonorable conduct. They call for failing to create an adequate record. They address failing to cooperate with patients' requests for records. This stems in two cases. This is very serious conduct. Dr. Scheibman has not participated in the process. He has not indicated that he is wanting to work with the board. His absence indicates that he is not an individual that wants to be regulated, that wants to come forward and work with the board to address these issues. So on behalf of the state of Arizona, the state would respectfully request that the board revoke this license and also impose the cost of investigations. You have the authority to do that under ARS 32924I. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so at this point, we have to accept the motion to deem.
That is the question before you, whether or not to grant or deny the motion to deem the factual allegations as submitted.
Okay. Board members, any questions at this point? Will someone like to make a motion to deem allegations admitted?
I'll make a motion to deem the allegations admitted.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
May I just ask, Can we include the allegations 1 through 3, paragraphs 1 through 13, just to make sure that the record's clear that you are
accepting all
the findings of facts?
Okay. Is that a friendly amendment to your motion?
I'll accept that as a friendly amendment.
Thank you.
Okay, so all allegations have been accepted. Is that a friendly amendment to your second?
Yes.
Okay.
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you. Ms. Baskin, do you have any additional information to provide us at this time?
No. Beyond the statements that I have already made, I believe that Dr. Shively has had multiple opportunities to appear before this board, work with this board, and address his issues, and he has voluntarily absented himself. He's had actual notice, so the state would request that you move forward and consider the appropriate disciplinary action.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so board members, at this point, we need to adopt findings of fact and then conclusions of law and then decide what kind of action we're going to take at that point. So as we look through the findings of fact, we have the 13 factual allegations.
And Mr. Vice Chair, members of the board, I think the previous motion
covers that already.
Covered that.
Okay.
If you wouldn't mind, I think if you could direct your attention to the alleged violations that begin on page 3 of the complaint notice of hearing and consider adopting those alleged violations as your conclusions of law.
Okay. So we have 7 that are listed. Do we need to read into the record each of the statutes that are violated and reasons why, or can we take them as a block?
You can take them as a block, and just in the motion, if you wouldn't mind just referencing the alleged violations set forth in the complaint as your in the notice of hearing as your conclusions of law.
Okay. Will someone care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt findings of fact as conclusions of law for the alleged violations, failing to create an adequate patient record, unprofessional or dishonorable conduct of character likely to deceive or defraud the public, failing to timely comply with the board's subpoena, unprofessional or dishonorable conduct of character likely to deceive or defraud the public, any contact or practice contrary to recognized standards in chiropractic or any conduct or practice that constitutes a danger to health, welfare, or safety of the patient or the public, billing or otherwise charging a patient or third-party payer for services, appliances, tests, equipment, x-ray examination, or other procedures not actually provided, and finally, intentionally misrepresenting to or omitting a material fact from patient or third-party payer concerning charges, services, appliances, tests, equipment, x-ray examination, or other procedures offered or provided.
Okay. So for clarification, that's all of the listed 1 through 7 alleged violations and their corresponding conclusions of law?
Correct.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing none, we'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. So we have adopted our findings of fact and conclusions of law. And now it's time for us to deliberate as to how we want to handle this matter. We feel that revoking is appropriate at this point. I do?
I do.
For me, yes. Yeah. And I do think there's a fine. If it's not paid, is that something that will come up in the relicensure application as well, that if there is ever that chance that he reapplies, that we can collect that fine at that time?
For the cost of investigation?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree with that. So will someone like to make a motion to revoke the license and include as part of that disciplinary action that he has to pay the cost of the investigation.
I'll make the motion to revoke the Arizona license number 5432, as well as impose the cost of investigation as a fine to Dr. Schiebele.
Okay, and that fine should be paid within a certain time frame?
Well, let's say to be paid within 90 days.
Okay. Dr. Knopf has made a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, second by Ms. Powell. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor, or roll call vote? Okay.
Ms. Powell?
Aye.
Dr. Knopf?
Aye.
Dr. Greeno?
Aye. Okay, the board has voted to revoke the license, and as part of the disciplinary action on that, the doctor is required to pay for the cost of the investigation within 90 days. We will be mailing him a summary of what has happened, and this concludes our formal hearing in this matter. Okay, on to tab number 17. This is the matter with Dr. Vernon Schroeder. You can come on up and have a seat, please. Good morning, Dr. Schroeder.
Hello.
Okay. This is the time and place for formal hearing in the matter of Vernon Schroeder in case number 2015-10 and 2015-56. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it by ARS 32924F and G. Dr. Schroeder, can you please introduce yourself for the record?
Dr. Vernon Schroeder, D.C.
Thank you. And are you represented by legal counsel today?
Wish I was, but as you know, I can't afford it, so no.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Schroeder. Can you please introduce yourself, please?
Yes. Good morning. Again, Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona in this matter. And with me is Justin Bohall, Executive Director of the Board.
Thank you. This is an administrative hearing. It will be conducted in an informal manner and without adherence to the formal rules of evidence required in judicial proceedings. Hearsay is admissible. Irrelevant, immaterial, or unduly repetitive evidence will be excluded. Dr. Schroeder, do you have any questions about possible actions that the board can take today? If you do have them, please ask now.
We've already met, of course, with Justin Bohall and Mike Ryan, so I'm going to kind of leave it up to them a lot, or Justin over there to explain things, because we met in person, and I've talked to Michael Ryan, and of course met Michael Ryan in person too, to try to work things out.
Okay, thank you. This proceeding is being, the purpose of this formal hearing is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. We have read all the materials that were submitted. If any additional materials are to be presented to the board, can you please do so now?
Well, no, like I said, we had a meeting, so I was just going to
kind of
leave it up to Justin. Yeah.
So, thank you. So there's no additional materials.
Dr. Greeno,
yes.
I'm asking on behalf of the state, we have a motion to accept a consent agreement and vacate the hearing, or alternatively, in the event the board doesn't accept it, motion to continue. And we do have a signed consent agreement by Dr. Schroeder that I believe the board has in their possession. Is that correct? Yes.
Thank you.
Those are before you. And when you're ready for a statement about it, I'm happy to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Can I have all witnesses sworn in by our staff?
Do you swear under penalty of perjury to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
And Dr. Garrido, may the record reflect that Dr. Schroeder and both and Mr. Bohall have taken the oath. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and so you have a motion to vacate the hearing?
Yes, I do. Would you like me to see?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Dr. Greeno. As Dr. Schroeder correctly stated, he met with Mr. Bohall and Michael Rain, and Michael Ring, unfortunately, was unable to be here. They had a meeting. They discussed resolution of the matter short of proceeding to an administrative hearing. They have come up with an agreement that is before the board, and I can very briefly explain it. It deals with the issues that you have before you, the issue of noncompliance. From my understanding, I will let Mr. Bohol explain more about what occurred at that meeting since I wasn't there. But Dr. Schroeder has agreed to enter into a consent agreement. He has signed it. That would be an order of censure for his noncompliance. I know that was one of the board's concerns. But what is also worked into this consent agreement, it allows Dr. Schroeder to successfully comply with the board's request. There is an order of suspension that's in actually a term in the consent agreement, but that suspension is stayed, which means that it doesn't go into effect so long as Dr. Schroeder follows and complies with all the terms. One of the terms has to do with obtaining an evaluation, and the other has to do with, it is on page 2, it's number 4, compliance with the order and maintaining 6 sessions that would be required pursuant to that, and also to follow any recommendations of that evaluator. Mr. Bohol, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes, I do. The order specifically states that the evaluation needs to be completed by 9 a.m. on January 25th, which is, of course, Friday. Dr. Schroeder has completed that evaluation. Staff has verified it. And the use of a board-approved evaluator, we do expect that the evaluation results will be to the board by the end of the week, if not early next week. And the other part of this order is that the suspension would be stayed, so his license would remain on probation for his ability to practice. But then the board would review this at the next board meeting, so that the February board meeting, the board would review the results of the evaluation to determine if any subsequent action would need to occur, but if not, then the treatment would be the next step. If the other part of the order was that if the new evaluation did not suggest that the treatment or the therapy was required, that he would not have to complete that treatment. It does allow for a certain amount of delegation to the staff to have this handled, rather than having to bring it before the board for minor issues. At this time, Dr. Schroeder has signed the agreement. Staff believes that we could work this out so that it doesn't require the formal punishment in a severe fashion.
And Dr. Guarino, on behalf of the state, I believe that this protects the state's interest and also Dr. Schroeder's interest. It will encourage him to be successful, and he already has complied with one part. So,
Thank you.
Okay,
so board members, we have to decide if we are going to accept the proposed signed consent agreement. Any questions or comments?
I guess it's just more of a comment than anything else. This has been going since late year of 2017, and here we are in 2019 at this point, and there's just a series of non-compliance along every step of the way, and now that we're finally starting to have compliance, I just hope that, should we agree to the consent agreement, that that's the path that we decide to
stay on.
I'd like to
get this over with, to be honest.
Okay. Any other comments?
I agree, though. That would be my comment as well.
Okay. Dr. Schroeder, do you have anything that you would like to say before we decide if we're going to accept the consent agreement?
As soon as possible, so I plan to comply with everything.
Thank you.
So long as it let me do it.
Thank you.
What they say, if I do or don't have to, or whatever, if I have to do the 6 sessions, and if they say I don't, then you can tell me I don't. So I'll leave it kind of up to you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, is there a motion to accept the proposed consent agreement?
I'll make the motion to accept the proposed consent agreement.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, any further deliberations or comments? Okay, we'll have a roll call vote then on the motion.
Ms. Powell?
Aye.
Dr. Knopf?
Aye.
Dr. Greenan?
Aye. Okay, the motion carries. So thank you for participating today, Dr. Schroeder, and you will receive information from staff and Mr. Vohall about how to proceed from here after the meeting.
Okay, so you'll tell me before I should come back, what you should do, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Justin, for all of your participation. I know you've spent lots of hours on this.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've completed all of our tabs. One of our final agenda items is a call to the public. The call to the public is an opportunity for anybody in our audience to come on up and say whatever they would like. It's not meant to be a question and answer situation. We cannot reply to anything that you say, but we would love to have your feedback on how you think that the meeting went or if you felt like you learned anything. So we can start from the right side over here to the left if anybody would like to come up and say anything. You're not obligated to, but it's up to you. Anyone? Okay. Hearing none, I'm looking for a final motion.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second the motion.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.